So welcome. If this is your first time, yeah, welcome to the end of the week for a good number of us. Let's take this opportunity to debrief on what's been happening in this week in testing. So I will share a few things that we've observed here at Ministry of Testing, and then offer out an invite to all of our listeners to put their hand up in a bit and come up on stage. So do have a think about your week. What is it that you perhaps have achieved? Is there something that you've read or listened to that you'd like to talk about? Perhaps you're experimenting with something with your team that you'd like to discuss and share some of your learnings and observations. Or maybe you want to come up on stage and give a positive shout out to someone in the community that you think is doing some brilliant things right now. This is the opportunity to do it. So yeah, we've got just up to the hour. So yeah, let's see where things go. So we are continuing to record these sessions now. So we are going to start putting them live on the Ministry of Testing YouTube channel. So if there's some things that you missed that you want to come back to, you will have the opportunity to dig into that later on. And for those who are listening to this later on, welcome. Thank you for joining. Okay, folks. And also just one more thing before I jump into the week. If you do pop up on stage, please be mindful of the Ministry of Testing Code of Conduct, which you can access at ministryoftesting.com. Okay, lots been happening in the community as usual. Talking to community, there's a couple of folks who are writing books or have written a book. So I want to do a shout out to Jesper Otterson. He is about to launch a new book, and yeah, he's got his book launch in the middle of June in Aarhus in Denmark. And yeah, so if you're interested in that, do have a look for Jesper Otterson on LinkedIn, and he's currently promoting his new book, Leading Testing Activities, a guidebook for new leaders of testing. So yeah, kind of Jesper talks a lot about test leadership and has so much good stuff to share. So it's brilliant that he's in a position to have put that together and launch it as an ebook. So do go check that out. Nice one, Jesper. Also, I saw that Nicola Lindgren, again, another friend of Ministry of Testing, a brilliant community person. She is writing another book, or at least hinting at writing another book. So again, do check out Nicola on LinkedIn. She was hinting the other day and sort of gave a sneak peek at some of the chapters of her book. So looking forward to that one. I think there's a great opportunity for Ministry of Testing to collaborate with Nicola again to help us with a new course that we're putting together. It is an essentials or foundation junior course for people who are new to testing. And we are collaborating already with a number of good folks in the community to help us build out that course. It's very, very exciting. Fairly early days, but that's one to keep your eyes and ears out for as we develop that and release modules. We're going to go with an approach where we release a module. We're not going to wait until we've done the whole thing. We're going to get people early access with discounted prices for that. So yeah, watch this space. A couple of meetups been happening recently. So congrats to Ministry of Testing Athens, based in Greece. They had a successful webinar the other day, and yesterday they had their big summer get together. A couple of posts I spotted, looks like they had a great time, lots of good discussions. Always seems like it's an awesome party of, you know, hundreds of people attending. So congratulations to the team of volunteers behind Ministry of Testing Athens. Very cool. We also recently relaunched the New York City meetup. So that is back. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/meetups, you can get a list of all the meetups that are happening across the globe. Use that as an opportunity to connect with people locally. And perhaps, you know, at these meetups, you could suggest that you watch some of the talks that already exist on the Ministry of Testing platform. And also, as Ministry of Testing, we can help find you speakers. So we recently launched a continuous call for contributions. And one of those options that people can put themselves forward for is to speak at a meetup. So we become matchmakers, and we can say, ah, hey, this meetup over here, I see you're looking for a speaker. We've got these people available with these topics. What do you reckon? And then we connect you up and make the good things happen. So yeah, lovely to see more meetups popping up, back up again across the globe. And these are happening in person. That's not to say that there aren't other things happening online. Plenty of online events like today on LinkedIn. We're loving this week in testing and very grateful that we have some listeners joining us and people getting involved. All our events are available on ministryoftesting.com/events. We have the Test Exchange next week, which is a video call. We get a group of us together to share our skills and knowledge and also share what we're looking to learn. And then we try and match each other up to build connections and see how each of us can help each other. So, yeah, that, again, is an event that's open to all. You can find it on the events page, but that's called the Test Exchange. We've had a lot of good fun with that in the past. It's an interactive session. You kind of get stuck in. We run some polls and ask some questions and get people sharing. So yeah, have a good time with that one. We also are now running a weekly office hours. So this is available to all our professional and unlimited members. They get access to speak with some members of the Ministry of Testing team. If you need any help with your membership, then we're there to help. We can also point you in different directions based on the questions you have if you're unsure where to go next to learn about a particular topic, or you have some ideas about some of the things that we should do as a community, then office hours is a good way to share. So yeah, do check that out for those who are professional and unlimited members. Okay, so some career growth. I see Konstantin Sakshinsky is looking for a new job. So please do go check out Konstantin's profile and see if there's a match there. It was lovely to see that Stephen Mark Smith has landed a job. I remember Stephen joining the club, which is Ministry of Testing's forum, probably a couple of months ago, actually, or maybe a bit further back, saying that they were looking for a new role and they weren't able to find one. So it was brilliant to see that they've landed a new job. So congrats there, Stephen. Very, very cool. Couple of hiring. So I see Diego Gavilanes is hiring a QA automation engineer at Beloved Robot. So connect with Diego Gavilanes to learn about that. And literally, I just need to do a quick search because I put the job live just before this call. Oh yeah, that was it. There's a remote automation QA engineer role with a company called Scopic. That's available to apply for on our jobs page, ministryoftesting.com/jobs. So yeah, lots of good stuff happening there with career moves. We put out a article earlier on this week. Hanisha Arora wrote it, and it's brilliant. I think it's sort of aimed at folks who are new to testing. Yet I have a feeling, regardless of where you are in your career, it would also be a nice little reminder or booster. So the article is called Reboot Your Bug Hunting, 5 Ways to Supercharge Your Software Testing by Hanisha Arora. So do go check that out. There's some really good stuff in there. It's really good framing of the 5 ways. So that's worth checking out. And we also added that article. We've got a couple of collections here at Ministry of Testing where we gather lots of good video content, article content, small short talks together as a collection to help you. And we've added that article to the Software Testing Essentials collection. And also we're going on a bug hunt, which is all about bug hunting. So yeah, do go check out our collections. You can find a link to them in the footer of ministryoftesting.com. Okie dokie. Wow. There's obviously loads more going on, but I'm probably going to stop there. What else before we move on to inviting folks up on stage? Now, let's leave it there. There's more stuff to go through, but for those items that I'm not able to discuss or share right now, I'd recommend signing up for the newsletter. So we put out a weekly newsletter. It is emailed every Monday morning. That's at least what we aim for. We put it live on ministryoftesting.com, and it also goes out on our LinkedIn newsletter. So if you subscribe to the LinkedIn page, you can find a link to the newsletter and subscribe there. And that is a summary of the things that we've been observing here at Ministry of Testing. We also spot lots of trends, so I'll be including some links to some new trend information that we have available. And also, a bit of a sneak peek for all of our professional and unlimited members, we do an exclusive monthly newsletter, and that will go live next week. And that is a summary of all the things that have been happening in the community over the last month. So if you've been busy and it's hard to keep up, which we totally understand that it is, that monthly newsletter is the one to check out. It is essentially a huge link fest with lots of things to explore. I kind of think of it as like a checklist that you can go through, check stuff off. So we summarize all the events that are happening. We talk about testing trends, share new collections, talk about things happening on the testing planet, course updates and helpful talks, and we list out all the articles that have been released in the last month. We also summarize a number of posts that are happening on the club. So really good discussions happening on our forum. Plus, there's a reminder about office hours and also an exclusive offer to go unlimited. So that is going live next week. Great. So how has your week in testing been? I would love to hear from you. So now's the opportunity to put your hand up and, yeah, jump on stage. We can have a good old conversation. You could ask a question, share something that's been happening in your week that you want to celebrate, or pick up a community member. It's entirely up to you. So I'm going to go on mute for a little bit, think about some of the things that you'd like to discuss, and let's get chatting. Ollie Fairhall, let's get you up on stage.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. It's good to see you again. How's your week in testing been?
Good to see you again. Yeah, it's been good, thank you. It's been quite nice and refreshing because I think I might have said before, last time I was on, that we work in quarters. So every quarter, where possible, we start on a new project basically, and have new problem statements and try to address them. So we've been going through figuring out what to do for the next 3 months basically, and going through refinements and understanding problems and lots of ideation and figuring out where problems could be, figuring out architecture, things like that. So that's been a lot of my week. But it's been good. Not much like testing in terms of checking software through and all of that kind of stuff. But testing up front, it's been really good. And then the other thing we've been doing, which just today, in fact, so started with, I've got a QA chapter, which is, so we do the Spotify model of tribes and squads and chapters. And started talking with the QA chapter about kind of more general topics. It sounds like maybe, I've not been one, but was it Test Exchange? It sounds a bit like that maybe, where we discuss various topics and ideas. Just started, and one of them was talking about what quality actually means to you and your team, because I've never had a conversation in any role in software about explicitly what quality looks like and an agreed idea of what makes a product of a high quality. So that's kind of just starting. I haven't learned anything yet, but just starting out that conversation with QAs and like dev teams as well, to see if there's anything that can be gained from it.
Well, Ollie, that sounds great. I mean, to be having those sorts of discussions, that's fantastic, right? And I can think of, I reflect that that does come up often in the community, that it feels like we're often focused on the activity of testing and delivery and just deliver, deliver, deliver. And I think it is brilliant when teams are able to take a step back and collectively, given the situation of the company and what's happening in that company and what is important to your customers, to define what quality means at that moment in time with that current situation with your team and your colleagues. And I of course there are plenty of various different definitions out there. I think the important thing, and it'd be amazing actually off the back of this, if you know, maybe could come back or share in another way,
yeah,
what absolutely your definition becomes, and like how you, what the process was like when you went through that, and like the debates, yeah, you had, and what's important and what's not important. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, because I don't know what to really expect to get out of it. Even if just having the conversation about it, I think I'd be happy to have, because, yeah, like I said, I've never had the conversation. I don't think I've really worked in an organisation where it's been possible to have that conversation, because it, yeah, has been geared towards delivery and the QA teams not really being involved too much in, like, the ideation of features and things like that. Or if it was more like the lead was involved and then would pass the work down. So by the time it ever got to me, it was already defined and had already been built, basically, or at least started. So yeah, I'll definitely share. I don't know what I'm expecting to get out of it other than a conversation and the hope of some kind of consensus to improve the product, basically.
Loving that. I'm loving that. Makes me think about, if it's not on your radar, Ollie, and this is also for the rest of the audience, I really enjoyed Dan Ashby's talk at Test Bash back in 2023. It was around like how you view quality in, yeah, just how you view quality. I think, do a quick search. Yeah, evolving our testing, assessing quality throughout the SDLC. It just has so many models and visuals that I think is a useful oracle. And again, this is just Dan's take on things with his experiences and stuff. There's no right or wrong approach to this. Yet it just, for me, it really resonated, like, oh, that's a great way of thinking about things, about information and what does quality really mean. And I don't know, maybe that could spark some ideas as well, yeah, at least one person's perspective.
Thank you for that. I'm making a note of it now. So, was it 2023, did you say?
Yeah, the published date, 30th of January, 2023, but I got a feeling it might have been 2022. But let me, what I will do, I will ping you a link to that, Ollie. Amazing. That's probably the best thing to do. Cool, I would do that live as we're speaking. Here we go. trying to send a message whilst hosting. I don't. It's funny enough, the message button isn't working as I speak. So I'm going to put a little note on my other notes to say send you a link to that talk.
Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be appreciated. Yeah, I think any ideas on, yeah, around it in general would be good, because I'm very much wading into unknown territory.
Yeah, good on you. Well, there's loads of, you know, this discussion does often come up on the club as well, our forum, like, you know, what is quality and how do we, you know, define it or measure it? And there's, yeah, sometimes conversations about different types of measuring, and is it okay to measure and what do we measure? And I think I'm going to include in the newsletter next week, Lisa Crispin was writing about her experience with Dora Metrics, and she's got some good reflections as well on how that connects to, like, a whole team or holistic approach to testing and quality. So I think, yeah, Lisa Crispin's writing good stuff on that as well, particularly like, how do we measure this stuff, which I think can always get a bit tricky and sometimes complicated if we're measuring the wrong things related to quality.
Yeah, that's it. And I guess it comes to almost an existential question of even like who's best placed to say what's good quality or not. In recent years, started listening to the A/B testing podcast, and then reading up about modern testing principles, and them saying about that only the customer, the end user, can judge the quality of a product. How do you measure that as well if you go down that route?
Indeed.
Yeah. So it's, it feels like there's a bit of a journey to be had here.
Ah, loving exciting. It. Very exciting. It's such a cool topic. And I think it will be the eternal debate, or one of the biggest eternal debates within the testing community. Particularly as we start to involve other disciplines in that conversation, and it helps us kind of perhaps step out of our bubble as testing professionals and, you know, really build connections with other disciplines and skill sets, particularly that kind of whole team approach to quality that is all often talked about.
Because there's a whole idea of whole team and quality being baked in, but then if you haven't even talked about it, how do you know what you're baking in or what you're working towards?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that AJ Wilson put their hand up briefly to come up on stage. AJ, if you're up for jumping back on, then feel free to put your hand up. There we go. I don't know if you're having some tech problems and you're appearing and disappearing, but let's try one more time.
Hiya, how are you all doing today?
Hey, AJ, good to see you.
Hello, hi, Ollie.
Hiya.
I'm AJ. I'm talking at the moment from the UK. How's your week been, Simon and Ollie?
Ollie, you go for it. I'll jump in afterwards.
Yeah, it's been good, thank you. I send Simon lots of ideation and lots of meetings and calls, but eventually productive after lots of head scratching and brains melting. It's been good.
Cool. I kept having my hand up and then putting it down because I thought there's so many really interesting people listening. I was hoping someone else would put their hand up as well. and that's why I kept pulling it back down.
I'm sure once they hear from you, AJ, you'll be sparking like a gazillion ideas in the audience and they'll be up for joining us. So please do not hold back, AJ. You've always got some really good insight and helpful things to share. So please go for it.
It was more questions for Ollie on the context of your organization at the moment, because you mentioned that you're on a journey in terms of value and quality and your internal community of practice, that sort of thing. So is the structure at the moment that there's a QE on every team, or QA, sorry, or is there a separate team for automation and a separate team for testing? How does it work?
So we do have a QA on every team, at least one. Sometimes it can vary depending on levels of experience and things like that. We might have two QAs on one team, one predominantly testing the front end, one testing the back end. Everyone is working on automation, so some have more experience than others. So I've got relatively little experience in automation, except for the last year or so. But
that's not a lot. A year's a lot, believe it or not. So don't downplay. A year of automation experience is very valuable.
Yeah, and it's something, it's taken me a long time to be able to even get that, to be honest. I've had two previous jobs where I was told I'd be able to get into automation, and it never happened, and that was over the course of about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful to be able to get to work on it and build up my skills there. I think, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And you mentioned your community of practice. Is that just for the QAs or the developers/engineers, product owners, anyone else take part?
We've literally just started it today, so it's only been QAs. But I do think there's room to open it up to everyone, basically, especially if that we've got this understanding of quality being a shared responsibility.
So do you use a tool at work like Slack or Teams or anything similar?
Yes, yeah, we've got Slack.
Slack. So there's always ways of sometimes if think of it like a teaser, if you drip information and learnings into an open environment, like an unlocked channel, you could name it community of practice, for example,
Yeah.
or what we've learned in quality, anything that you think might be nice. And then anyone can be part of that community. They don't have to contribute,
Yeah.
just sit in the background and listen and watch and be intrigued. Because I bet you'll find that there's quite a lot of developers that are actually, they love the idea of quality. They're really into testing, but it's not talked about unless you feel there's a community there they can take part of. And
Yeah.
developers are interested as well. I've seen product owners attending Test Bash, for example, and they're really keen to learn how to improve quality across the whole business.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I raised it with like predominantly across two teams at the moment, and raised it with one of them in our like weekly end of week catch up, and yeah, everyone was, or at least most people seem to be quite keen to actually talk about it, and that's yeah, product owner, devs, design as well. But that's a really good idea about yeah, dropping stuff in into an open Slack channel.
Yeah, because we did something similar, but we have community of practices, and that includes engineering, testing, anything to do with software development. And then it got to a point where we had so many members in the channel from not just from technology, from other parts of the business, like customer services, field operations, because they were just intrigued as to what kind of things were happening in tech.
Yeah, okay.
Turned into a weekly call for an hour, not on lunch, because it's something that was contributing towards the value of the company. Lunch
Nice.
is unpaid, it's your time.
Yep.
But eventually it turned into weekly sessions where a different person had practice speaking and they got to talk or showcase something. And sometimes it would be prepared slides, sometimes it would just be a video that someone found on YouTube that was really great value. They'd watch it for 20 minutes together and then discuss it afterwards, because it was that about that community time together. And even little things like that can contribute to a bigger, wider idea of the values that quality can bring.
Cool. Okay, that's yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm gonna take that away and I'm gonna build on that. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Cool. Thank you for that.
That's incredible advice, AJ. That reminds me, yeah, folks might be interested in our next the Testing Planet. So this is a half day event that we run online. It's a pretty good time in there, Ollie, because it's called the Practitioner, and it's about communities of practice and just getting advice from the community about what they mean and how you can run them internally and how you can be part of them as a community, such as Ministry of Testing, and just how you can apply learning with a community to help you learn and help others learn. And just behind the scenes, we're just about to send invites to people to do that. AJ, we're sending you an invite. You heard it here live. I was like, totally got to get AJ. Hopefully she's up for it. But there you go, there you go. That's maybe you've already heard from Deanna. For those who don't know Deanna Dromey is our events producer. But yeah, we thought AJ, you'd be absolutely brilliant to be part of that episode of the Testing Planet. And yeah, looking at the other people on our list, yeah, we are hopeful that the people that we invite are up for it, because they're a rock solid bunch of community professionals who are very good at establishing community and helping people learn collectively and encouraging people, not just within the testing community, but beyond within their own communities at work. So yeah, watch this space on that. We have Kenneth waiting patiently to speak, and then also Lena. Kenneth has been waiting for a little bit. So Kenneth, let's get you up on stage and let's go from there.
I'm going to drop off the stage as well.
Oh,
So
sure thing,
good
Ollie.
chatting.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for joining us. We'll speak soon.
You soon. See you later.
Bye. Kenneth, welcome. Thank you for joining. How's your week in testing been?
Hey Simon, thank you. Weekend testing, it's been pretty tight and hectic, and a new initiative actually came up in my organization, so I was just wanting to get some feedback from fellow testers about this, if they had similar experiences. So it's like now My organization has decided that all the QAs have to manually write down all the test cases in Jira, like create, there's this plugin in Jira called Structure, and then we have to, basically it's like a different version of HP ALM. So we're expected to write all our test cases with steps and then, you know, manually execute them and update their pass fail status. And on top of writing automation test cases, and this is not only for the new projects that we'll be working, but it's also for past projects that we have worked on and we have and have not created any test cases for that. So I was wondering if anyone in the community has found any value in doing this kind of documentation of test cases rather than just going and directly testing against the requirements, finding defects, and you know, adding value to the quality of the product.
I'm quite curious, where you work, Kenneth, do they have like a massive unlimited pot of money they're just willing to waste doing all of this work?
Well, I don't know if this is more like trying to, trying to get all the QAs to document their work, because like, let's say for developers, they have to show their work in terms of their PRs and their code. But we generally, our work is shown in terms of raising defects or attaching screenshots to individual stories, but now it's more like documenting each and every test case and steps involved in testing them. So,
okay. Is there quite a lot of QAs where you work?
Quite a lot. I would say maybe in the range of, say 30 to 30, between, I say 30, around 30 to 40.
Okay, so it's quite a large,
yeah,
architecture. Would you say it's like monolithic, or is it lots of small independent domains that just are clumped together?
Well, we're in retail, so it's just like so we have different domains, like the e-commerce. We have the SAP. We have other merchandising teams and whatnot. So it's about streamlining all these teams together, and the expectation is that all the teams have to follow the same testing process of writing test cases. And I'm just wondering, because like, if ultimately my question is like, is this going to add any value or improve the quality of the software we are testing? And but it's more like a directive from the higher management, and so it's difficult for folks like me to simply oppose the whole thing, right? So
yeah, I guess it's not about opposing, it's about understanding the context. So if you, I mean, where you're saying it's an initiative that's come from senior management or the senior leadership team, I really hope that they're able to explain the problem that they're solving by doing this, and that the value that that will bring, because then that will give everyone a drive to actually fulfill that initiative. Have they said the benefit of doing it or why? Because saying it's just so they can measure and see if you're working doesn't really sound like, I know that's probably like a loose summary of what they've said, but it seems like one small facet, one small tiny benefit for someone somewhere in terms of delivery. But I mean, it'd be interesting to know so that you can challenge it or ask questions, understand what's behind the initiative, what's the OKR, or what's the value it's going to add.
So their reasoning for this is like for example, I said that they want test cases to be written even for past projects that we may have worked on, say, a couple of years ago. So now their reason is that going forward, if there's any new changes or enhancements to those projects we already worked on, it will be helpful for us during regression and for everyone to understand what is being tested. But then we already have automation test cases created for those very same projects, which ideally we should be running those automation suites to test for regression of past functionality, right? So their rationale is that it's going to help in regression, but then like I said, it's already, that would already be covered in automation test cases. So, but still we are expected to write the functional test cases for the past projects as well.
Okay. In terms of past projects, that's tech debt already, right? So in terms of prioritization and the capacity of the teams and the people doing it, I would hope there'd be some direction to say, have a certain percentage of the capacity focusing on the new technology coming out and what you're iterating on, what's essential for business continuity. There should be some kind of pyramid or matrix that could guide you on where to start. In terms of integrating with Jira, there is actually plugins that will do a lot of the work for you. They will look at your automation, for example, your unit testing in each mm-hmm. of the domain segments. And you can start with reporting as an example. So then that will help you judge if the tests are actually worthwhile documenting the test cases for, if that's the way that people want to do things. I think it's really worthwhile trying to speak to any QA leadership that you have there first as a group and kind of understand their strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping they've not just said to everyone, start putting stuff in Jira and not giving anyone any kind of steer or operating model, because that's a massive waste of money.
Yeah, and this whole thing has been given a deadline of 3 weeks, like just
3 weeks. Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, I'm just laughing at your business.
I know. yeah, it's like 3 weeks, and moreover, it seems like it's a directive from the new director that we have, and you know, it's just about trying to make things, I guess they want to have more physical artifacts or whatever, these test cases. They see it as some sort of evidence that QA has something to show. So, I mean, like, even the problem is that it's going to be done, it has to be done for the past projects, which someone would have worked on 2 years back, and they have to go back and write all these, looking at the requirements and then doing all this on top of working on the current projects which we have, right? So it's difficult. I don't know if people have experience in trying to convince senior leadership from reverting such a massive ask.
Yeah, and in terms of just for smaller segments of the problem, just for you as an individual, if you do want to start putting your test cases into Jira, whoever's doing it has to have admin anyway. So it would mean they'd have to give admin access en masse. And I don't know if that would increase your license cost. So, but you can do it. There's issue type schemes in Jira Classic Project and other things called test case. But you can actually, there's plugins that allow you to automate it from whatever tool you use at the moment and put existing suites into Jira. It's just the configuration is the hard part, but once you've configured it, it will do the work for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. What is it called again? You said the plugin.
And there's lots of different plugins. There's Marker.io. There's Testmo. If you go into Atlassian and look at the community groups there, Atlassian on Jira, you'll see lots of different tools and what people have used and how they've used them.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I can take a look at that.
Sorry, Simon, I went on for a bit there.
No, it's good. This is a really important conversation, a really important topic. And yeah, just to reiterate, Kenneth, you're not alone. We do see this time and time again across the community that folks are kind of led into a certain direction with their approach to testing and their relationship with test cases from senior management where perhaps they might be missing opportunities to explore alternatives to that approach. So, you know, while it doesn't feel like it addresses your immediate question, you kind of ask towards the end, like, well, how do I convince people, like, maybe we shouldn't do this? If indeed you do want to go down a route where you start to value more structured exploratory testing, then that could be one option. And demonstrating value through dedicated sort of time-based structured exploratory testing sessions could be one way. And I would just call out, there is a really good collection on ministryoftesting.com. If you go ministryoftesting.com/collections, search for the word exploratory testing. We've got a couple of collections available, which offer various different approaches to get into exploratory testing, and a kind of like can complement the test cases approach, and start to bring in value in different ways than just getting test cases documented in JIRA. I know that doesn't help you directly with your request. What AJ has shared is very, very useful. So I'm hopeful that is a good starting point for you.
Yeah. Even what you said, like, I'm a big fan of exploratory testing, where I feel ultimately that achieves the purpose of a tester, that is to find bugs, right? So exploratory testing is like the main tool that you can, process that you use to find as many defects as you can. But it's still helpful, like, maybe to look into how the exploratory testing is done, because even though I've done it for many years, there's always ways to improve it, which I can certainly take a look at from the site that you suggested. And even Amy's suggestions and all that is, anything helps, you know, so it's always good to hear feedback from fellow QAs.
That's awesome, Kenneth. Lena has been waiting very patiently. So Lena, let's bring you into the conversation. Perhaps you've got some ideas to share with Kenneth, or perhaps you have something else to share. So Lena, let's get you up on stage.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
How was your
Yeah, doing good. Thanks, Lena. Thank you for joining This Week in Testing. How's your week been?
Good, but I have been, I had a lot of questions and doubts this week. I have been thinking about testing a lot. And there was one question that I thought might be a good idea to bring here, and maybe someone can help me. But just to give a quick comment on Kenneth's question, I believe that there's something probably underlying the fact, this need of the test plans, and most likely it's something related to trust. So although I know it's not an easy thing to do, but sometimes we can, through some metrics and through some gap analysis or coverage analysis, we can also showcase our work and work in parallel also with the trust thing, because sometimes it's easy to fall into that QA work is not that easy to track. So people tend to ask test plans because of that as well. So that's just my quick 5 cents.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's about trust and tracking, nothing more. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There are probably some other things that you can also do with a team to showcase the value that quality brings. And with that, maybe try to gain some trust. Of course, those things take time, so it won't be an immediate solution. But then also somehow related to the first topic, I have been thinking about this ratio that usually we see online of developers to QAs. And it got me thinking, because we have more or less a standard set of like 4-to-1 or 5-to-1, but I tried to analyze my past experiences, and I noticed that it really depends on the way how the company works, but also how the development is being done and how we are organized inside the teams. So whether QA is dedicated to each customer or each product or each platform, and all those things can actually impact on the number of QAs that we might need. And I believe that probably there are some ways that are more efficient and others that are probably less efficient, depending on the context and on the product. So I have been trying to fight back against this standard idea, against this stereotype that like 5-to-1 should be enough. So if we have this ratio, then we probably don't need more QAs. And I would like to hear also your thoughts. Like, am I that wrong? Because I feel that for the current situation that I have now and the current challenge, I don't feel like 5-to-1 would be enough, just because we have different products, different clients, a lot of customization to every client, four different platforms, including mobile, web, desktop, and all those things. So what are your thoughts on that?
Great question and thoughts and reflections there, Lena. AJ, would you care to jump in on that one?
I'm really sorry, Lena. I only heard bits of what you said because my captions were turned off. I'm really sorry. I was listening.
Just your thoughts on the dev to QA ratio and whether it's helpful and how we might approach that and use that as a tool to help us or hinder us.
So the bits I did catch, I completely agree with Lena. It's all context dependent. So you could have 3 QAs and 3 developers, but if they don't have enough experience and they don't work very well, it doesn't matter about the ratio. I think that in my current situation at the moment, you've got between 4 to 6 to 8 devs on a team, or engineers as we call them, where their skill set is software coding and quality. And then we have the other side where it's quality engineers, and they coach the developers on testing and quality and everything around adding value and quality to the business. So again, it depends on the remit, I think, and also how experienced the developers are, because you could have 4 developers and 3 QEs, for example, but the developers could be very green and the QEs could be super experienced. So it just depends. I think ratios is not really something people need to worry about too much. My concern comes when people feel they're agile, but there's a separate team for testing. Because yes. That's not shifting at all. That's where I think there's red flags now. I know that some institutions have to have it for compliance reasons, which is fair enough. But when they say they're agile and that's still happening, that's where I get red flags in terms of quality and value and that type of thing.
Absolutely. Lena, I remember, I think it was last week, I put in the newsletter a club post thread kind of reemerged from last year. It was Justin Moss asked the question, like, what are your dev QA ratios? So, Lena, if you get the chance, it'd be cool if you could add to that thread. And just kind of for I'm just pulling out some numbers. So someone's mentioned it's like 3-to-1. There's another 3-to-1. There's a 4-to-1. 5-to-1, and people are just sharing the different experiences they've had. 7.5-to-1, I like it. There you go. 2-to-1, 7-to-1, 1-to-1, 10-to-0. Don't really know what that means, but 7-to-3. Yeah, and I think the theme coming through here, it's like, there is no perfect ratio, and it's kind of, is it a helpful tool? Is it just based on needs and how stretched people are, and as AJ says, just amplifying your point there, AJ, about skill set as well. But yeah, it's I think it's just another one of those tools that can start conversations, and that's my take on the ratios. It's like, can it help us have a conversation? Yes, and then go from there.
I agree, and thank you for your insights and. From the different responses that you read, I'm more and more convinced towards the conclusion that I got that it really depends on the context. But I do believe that what I'm trying to find now, and what I'm aim to investigate, like in the next couple of months, is how also the development and the other teams inside the organization can help us to make this ratio more efficient. So I hope to share some insights afterwards. And thank you for reminding me of that thread. I am going to check it. Thank you.
Cool. Nice one, Lena. I'll make a little note to send you a link to that after the session, just so you don't have to look it up. if you get the chance to write about it, or indeed if you want to share some thoughts on it and co-create an article with Ministry of Testing, that would be fantastic. Based on your research and your experiences, I think the question of it could be, maybe this sounds a bit clickbaity, but it's an article, why do we get hung up on the dev QA ratio? Like, that as a question, and pose it to folks out there, and it'd be cool to gather your research into an article there, Lena. So yeah, maybe something to consider. We do have an open continuous call for contribution. Just a reminder there that there's plenty of things we can co-create as a community, right? And Ministry of Testing as a company are there to support you. If you have ideas for a short talk or a talk at a meetup or one of our conferences, an article that you'd like to write, do head over to ministrytesting.com/contribute. We've overhauled our contribution model, and it is there to support you. And we reward folks for that, whether it's through monetary payment or offers of access to professional membership, or people can donate their fee to a scholarship fund, which we can help people who aren't in a position to pay for things. There's lots of opportunities to co-create and get stuck in. I'm just going to do a quick time check. So how are we doing? It's 5 minutes. I've got one of my kids trying to get into the lounge where I'm recording this from, but I have let them know that I'm recording, so I think they got the picture. So Simon has been waiting very patiently. Simon Devon, would love to get you up on stage, Simon. So thanks so much for your patience. Let's get you up on stage. Oh, just waiting for the LinkedIn tech to kick in to allow Simon to join us. I'm just going to try one more time. Simon, welcome. You've made it to the stage. You are currently muted. Let's hope that...
There we go.
Hooray!
Yeah. There we go. Sorry welcome. About that.
No worries.
No, that's okay. I think LinkedIn, I need to test their tech really a little bit more.
Indeed. It's a little bit buggy every so often. But Simon, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you up on stage. How's your week in testing been?
Yeah, so I've actually had a really interesting a couple of weeks actually. So I've just finished a contract at a company who had no testers at all, and so actually they had a very specific project that they were trying to deliver for quite a high profile customer, and they suddenly realized that 2 weeks before the end of the project, it really needed their testing. And so they contacted me to go in for kind of a 2 weeks work to draw them up a regression, a test plan. And it was really interesting to be going into a company that had never had a full-time QA before, even though they had a development team, and just kind of educating them in a QA. It was a simple thing of I wrote a test case and their minds were totally blown. It was really interesting. So when Alina was kind of talking about the dev test ratio, I was one tester amongst them, many are developers, and it was really interesting. I just thought I'd offer that out there, but as a bit of a different perspective on things.
I'm loving it, Simon. Wow. I mean, that must have felt like that kind of, and I was chatting to a friend the other day who works in a completely different industry, and he's been shipped in. He's a video effects person for movies, and he's been shipped in to help sort out some problems with this new movie they're working on. And he's like, yeah, I share this real basic stuff. And the team like, wow, this is amazing. We never thought of doing that before. And he's like, can't believe it. He's like, really? So it must be, yeah, like a lovely feeling that you have so much to offer. And I do wonder, it makes you think, how many teams are there out there that don't have testers that kind of were introduced to some like essential concepts where they're just like, wow, like, what is this?
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes as testers, we get like bogged down in arguments about frameworks and what kind of testing we're doing and when we're doing it and all of these kind of issues. But like, you've got to remember, there are some companies out there who have zero QA at all, and literally just kind of going in there and explaining about how you can improve the quality of software is a bit of a mind blow to them. Like, it is like quite amazing. Ironically, this was also involved in the world of a TV and a graphics and everything, yeah, which is which was a change of industry for me. And as I say, it was only a 2-week contract, and so now I'm on the lookout for another contract. But it was really, really interesting. And it's just a totally different take on things, really. And it's interesting what kind of Kenneth was saying, that he's been asked to write a load of test cases. And it sounds like that was almost an education thing, where the company didn't really know what they wanted, in my opinion. Whereas the company I was at, they had nothing. And they turned around to me and said, what do you recommend we do? Like, how do we solve this particular problem? And it was just a really interesting, because I don't think very often in our career as testers we get that opportunity to have a totally greenfield project.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you share a really good reminder there, Simon, that I think as a community of practice, such as Ministry of Testing, that we can very much make assumptions that we need to be using the next technology, or we need to be like properly way ahead of the curve, or we need to be using this methodology. And everyone's like, must pair test, you must ensemble test, and you must like collaborate with your whole team. And for some situations and contexts, that's like way ahead of the game. And I think it's a useful reminder that I often think this about Ministry of Testing as a community, that there are so many more testing and QA and quality engineering professionals out there that aren't part of this community. And for sure, we would love for those folks to be part of the community. Yet they're just doing completely different things to maybe what a lot of the kind of thought leaders and the people who are pushing the boundaries are doing. And that's cool. That's the reality, right? That is the reality of these companies and industries and what they're up to.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, I mean, I've only recently found out about like Ministry of Air Testing. And so I was looking for a new job. I'm going to do a bit of self-promotion. I was looking for a new job, as I unfortunately got made a redundant a while ago. And I've been working on this contract. And so I had begun to look around, the kind of testing a community a little bit more and try and make our connections, with our people. That's how I landed this particular role in this, like in this company. Yeah, but it's you're right. I think that there's a community of testers who do kind of put themselves out there, but there are a lot of testers are not in the community, and there's probably like a lot of testers who are kind of quite kind of isolated and they work on their own. And it's how you reach those people really as well. That was it. I just wanted to share my kind of really interesting experience I've had in the past 2 weeks. It was quite a high profile piece of software as well. Yeah. Cause it's the software that kind of a UEFA user to do all the Champions League draws and stuff like that. And I was amazed that like it had not had a single tester involved in it. And it goes live next week, so it was it's amazing kind of what companies will try to get away with.
Indeed. Wonderful, Simon. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm just doing a time check. We have run slightly over, but that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Let's wrap up for today. So thank you so much to everyone who's joined us on stage today. So to Ollie, AJ, Kenneth, Lena, and Simon, really grateful for all of your insight and for sharing and starting some wonderful conversations and exploring today. Loads of good stuff as usual. Very grateful and privileged to be hosting another This Week in Testing. And thanks to you, our listeners, for sticking around and getting stuck in. If you do have any thoughts or ideas, spark stuff in you, you know, many ways to get involved with the community. Perhaps you could head over to our forum, club.ministryoftesting.com, ask a question or share some reflections. Start, you know, get the conversation going. Let's take some action off the back of that. For contributors to Ministry of Testing and our professional and unlimited members, they get access to a Slack. So there's some chit chat going on there. We're using our Slack to help coordinate things with our community. So it's really there for action as well as conversation. So do go check that out if you are a professional or unlimited member with Ministry of Testing, or indeed you're a contributor. So whether you've written for Ministry of Testing or you've spoken at one of our Test Bash conferences. In the meantime, do check out our events page, ministryoftesting.com/events. Loads of stuff always going on. And finally, to get a summary of what's been happening in the community, subscribe to our newsletter, ministryoftesting.com/newsletter. Thank you so much, folks. Please do enjoy the rest of your day and have a lovely weekend. And we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.